What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Welcome to another episode of What the Fuck. I, of course, am Josh Hadley. I have never missed a show, and I will never. And then there is my lovely Double D's of Justice co-host.
I'm going to feel really bad if I lose enough weight to where I'm not a Double D anymore. I'll be like, I'm a fraud. Is that a stab at me, the fact that you've never missed an episode because I have to go MIA every once in a while for personal reasons?
No, because that
you don't think I feel horrible about that? Because I do.
Jade, that would still qualify for the episodes you weren't on. Even if you've never missed an episode from here on out, you still weren't on the first 18 episodes of the show.
Different. You're like, I've never missed an episode. You just wait. You're going to get laryngitis one of these days, and you'll be like, no, I won't miss. And you'll be like Skyping, and I have to read it. And then I'm just going to say asinine things, and you won't be able to do anything about it.
I'll get one of those Stephen Hawking devices, so it'll just sound all
complete. It'll sound like Mr. Butlertron from Clone High.
Good morning, Westy.
Yes. Let's just get...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
...out of the way right away. Jillian, do you want to explain to us the slut vote?
Well, you see, Josh, the slut vote is essentially the women who voted for Obama because we're sluts, you know, because we want, like, free abortions and have lots of sex and birth control and all that stuff. So, yeah, that's why a big part of the quote-unquote slut vote was researched by this Republican Christian extremist.
Of course, it was a Republican Christian extremist. Who else would?
I know, right? Like, I thought it was going to be a big shocker, but who this is, he's a noted bloggist, and he goes by B. Skillet over at the Christian Men's Defense Network, which I don't know what they're taking defense against, I guess. Stay away, evil vaginas! We shall defend against you. Basically, they're a flagging Christian outpost explaining how Mitt Romney, apparently some kind of erstwhile candidate for political office, could have lost. And that was a quote from them. He blames the, quote, slut vote. He says that on radio ads and TV and on the web, the Democrats tried to make this election about a single issue, the right to slut. Or more precisely, the right to slut without the responsibility of consequences. The famous, quote, gender gap isn't really a gap based on gender. The right overwhelmingly wins older and married women. The gender gap should more accurately be called the slut vote. He says, I predicted this largely because he played up his alpha cred in the first debate, but one photo up on the Jersey Shore with Obama looking tough in his bomber jacket destroyed all that, which is yet another reason societies don't let women get involved in government. This guy is just talking out his ass. What this thing is.
This is some of the most misogynistic shit I've ever heard.
No, there's more. Instead, we're looking at 4 more years of skyrocketing debt, stifling regulation, and the only first lady who could possibly be bitchy enough to make Hillary Clinton look feminine.
Wow. Well, okay.
Up 50% of the electorate. It's very hard to win without winning that segment, or at least losing it only narrowly while winning men big. Like, there is so much, you guys. It just goes on. And basically, he doesn't like women. We're all sluts, so, you know.
You're all sluts just slutting around.
If you're a married woman who can't have children because of a certain condition and the child would kill her, the child would be extremely deformed because of medications you have to take to live, and you get pregnant and you find out, you know, that, oh, the baby's going to kill you, you're still part of the slut vote because, you know, you want birth control. Jesus Christ. That's the dumbest thing.
And that actually segs into something that you and I have been talking about for a long time, Jay, and that is the war on women.
I should make a poster that says Sluts for Obama.
Well, okay, see, here's the thing. Now that the election is over, Mitt Romney not only lost it in a shockingly large margin to women, probably that war on women thing probably wasn't a great idea there, Mitt.
Oh?
He's a Mormon. He lost the Mormon vote. More Mormons voted for Obama. That tells you right there, no one wanted Romney, didn't it?
Well, some people did. I mean, there were a lot of votes, and then, you know, some stuff we'll get into later. Here's my stance on this, and I obviously, you know, all the election hubbub, we've been talking about this, and we'll backtrack a little bit of some stuff election day, where if you were following my Facebook and Twitter, I was covering just a little slightly, and for the most part, I guess Obama supporters do follow me, but I had a few people that were I guess, surprised that I was an Obama supporter, and I had a few responses where I was just like, dude, I'm not going into this. I've covered this for months on the show, and I know my information, and it's just ridiculous. But I digress. Here's the thing. Romney probably is not as extremist as his campaign team made him out to be. I'm not defending him, but he was very wishy-washy. But the problem is, you are what you lie with. When you have members of your team making asinine declarations about rape, what have you, not coming out and saying anything against the put the white back in the White House, as we talked about, by not saying anything, you're technically giving the perception that you're okay with it. So when members of your team that represent you running in your election say something like, oh, well, we know we're not really going to get the black vote, so we're just going to focus on white people, you probably should have come out and been like, whoa, no, that is not my stance, and either fire that person or demote them or what have you. But when you have members of your team saying things like that that represent you, and you say nothing, then you're looped in with those people. And I think we talked about this last week as well. If you were following Facebook and Twitter, I did end up posting a few things. And there was cases of machines, and I did hear that it was reverse as well, only there wasn't really anything revealed about it other than Republicans stating so. So I'm not saying it did or didn't happen, but there actually is video of a machine where someone was trying to vote for Obama and it kept selecting Romney. Thing is,
hold on a sec. That was not an isolated incident. There haven't been other videos, but there were other machines that did that. That was actually something that the Voter Electoral Fraud Board took a look at. Numerous electronic voting machines accidentally voted for Romney, no matter who you voted for.
Right. And here's my thing on that. And we did talk about, you know, I was concerned because I was like, huh, gee, you know, being capitalized, all these voting machines right before. There are a lot of great uses for electronic devices. However, I don't think it should be left up to, you know, voting for the president, because there's so much aside from foul play, even error. It's like, didn't they say man of the year? That's how Robin Williams got elected. This was the, you know, scenario. So even if you're going back and they came out with reports, and the person that took this particular video brought it to the attention of the polling people, and he was like, hey, you know, this machine's wonky. And they're like, no, it's fine. They disregarded it. So, you know, he of course did the video and went to the news, which actually another person actually tweeted them taking a picture of themselves of voting, which is actually illegal. But in this case, since it was something, you know, an actual issue, that it was excused. So my thing was like, okay, well, they removed the machine, but how many votes went through? Like, I was really scared on this election, and I'm surprised actually at the outcome. I thought we were going to have to go through some like crazy thing like last time. And there was another instance where in Oregon, a woman who was volunteering at the polls was changing ballots into Republican straight tickets. Not necessarily changing votes, she claimed, but she did admit to, like, if stuff wasn't filled in, she was filling in Republican answers. Or not answers, that's not a test, but you know what I mean, Republican votes. So she claimed it was two. She did get caught, and she's, you know, kind of fucked. It's a Class C felony. But the thing is, it's like, okay, yeah, she said it's two. How many slipped through? Did she actually change votes? What have you? So I really think for election wise, really need to stick to paper ballots. It's like, if you don't want to do the punchy card thing or whatever, use the scanners. But there's so much with, you know, human calibration error versus even foul play. It's like, you really don't know what's happening, and it's sick and scary. And I told you I was going to kind of like talk around because we've got a lot to talk about, but I will say this. On my Facebook wall, someone said, well, what does it matter? They're technically the same person, just a few different views on social snafus. And I was like, they are so not the same person. He's like, oh, yeah, well, why? And then I didn't respond because I was busy. He's like, oh, you can't prove it, you know, your point. And so that's when I was like, dude, I've been talking about this a lot. It's like, the fact that you think changing votes doesn't matter is really what's wrong with
about the changing the votes. Now, I see prior to the election, and I know you don't watch a lot of Fox News because you don't want your head to cave in, Jay. But on Fox News, they have been going about election fraud, election fraud. They think there's going to be so much election fraud, election fraud. They were bringing all this attention to election fraud. And you know what? They were right. There was a whole bunch of election fraud this year. All of it for their boy. Maybe they shouldn't have shined a light on that then, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Fucking idiots. But then there's also the fact when my wife and I went to vote, they were on paper. And if our polling station had had electric, I would have requested paper. I just don't trust electric. I outright don't. And this election proved why I don't, or even like you brought up, man of the year. You don't know. With a paper trail, there's literally just that, a paper trail. You can go back and look at them. If there's a discrepancy, you can go, look, 1, 2, 3, 4 for Obama. Why were those counted as Romney?
Yeah, and the thing with the woman who was changing votes, they had to, the two tickets they caught her with, and she said they were the only two, which I doubt it because the more you do, the more you get in trouble. They had to disregard those ballots. So whoever voted for whomever on that ticket, their votes didn't count, unfortunately. So the thing is, too, with this whole electronic versus paper thing, Joe Vargas, who does a lot of internet reviews and gaming reviews, and he's pretty well known, you know, out here in the world of the interwebs. He was tweeting his experience about not trusting the electronic votes as you, because I had talked to you briefly before and I was like, oh God, it's starting. Cause I was bugging.
I think I was at the laundromat and you sent me a text like, it begins.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, I was like bugging out. And basically he was at a place that only had electronic. He didn't feel comfortable. The polling people were not very sympathetic to, you know, his questions or whatever. They got the supervisor person or what have you. And they were like, no, we don't have any paper ballots. And like the next election or soon after, it's going to all be electronic. Well, hopefully that statement does not stand after these shenanigans, because it is scary. It is really, really scary, because especially if they keep with this electronic system, it's like whoever tried to throw this can obviously, quote unquote, learn from their mistakes. And so it's like it might not be caught next time. And then what about all the votes? Like, okay, this one showed it lit up Romney when he hit Obama. Maybe that was an error in the programming to where it wasn't even supposed to show. Like maybe it was supposed to light up Obama and still send the vote for Romney. Like that is really, really scary. Another thing that I was, you know, texting about and posting, I want to give mad props to New York, specifically East New York. There was video coverage, kind of like a live stream, but it was more so just being updated. I don't think it was aired live. It was being aired and then posted. East New York had horrible, horrible voting conditions. And the majority of what they were showing anyway were in poor black neighborhoods or middle class. You had one volunteer person running three districts. They showed people that are just filled in the auditoriums waiting, and it's like, props to them. I mean, honestly, I don't know if I could wait 10 fucking hours to place a vote. Like, I mean, I know it's important, but by God, I mean, I have agoraphobia issues. I don't know if I could have sat in a crowded room like that. And they had video feed where people were waiting to get in line to be in line. Like, and the lines would wrap around the building and go back inside. Other places, people couldn't vote for 3 hours. They were sending people home. They did finally rule that, like, okay, well, these polling places are going to stay open for 3 hours later than normal. But by then, people had already gone to work or left, or they may not have heard. There was another issue where people went in. There were no volunteers, no paper ballots, and no electronic ballots. Like, they had no way to vote. And maybe this is just like, I'm not trying to be all like conspiracy theorist or anything, but that seems really shitty, especially when they said that they weren't, you know, it just seems like they're trying to kind of twist things. One volunteer to process three districts, something's going on. Like, you don't want people to stay.
My mom and brother didn't even want to deal with that shit. So they just did early voting, you know, a couple of weeks in advance. They weren't even going to put up with lines or anything.
And I was lucky. I left the house like first thing, and it wasn't too far. So I got in right away. But then it was like, you know, I went there, you know, they were just like name and they gave me the thing. And I was like, so, you know, you guys don't check IDs. You just, and they're like, oh, well, we match the signature. And it was funny because they checked mine more meticulously than the person was in front of me who didn't say anything. Probably because like they didn't want me going to people, or I don't know if they thought, because I mean obviously everybody's all election standards, but since I asked a question, they decided to, and my signatures is pretty uniform for the last few years. So I think it was kind of, I think they felt like a little threatened or something that I was like, so, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, oh, check with each other. So I don't know. I just thought that was kind of weird. I will say the states where they try and whittle out people who are poor, elderly, that can't afford IDs. If I had the money, I would seriously go places before, you know, election, be like, anybody who wants an ID to vote, free on me. Like, I just think that's horrible. I understand that's that they have
voter suppression.
Right. And I mean, I understand that legality reasons, you know, it may not be entirely corrupt. And I'm not trying to come off as like, I'm starting to sound like really jaded. This is what the show and the
it
government
does.
Has done to me.
Jay,
I never used to be like this. What happened in my life?
JJ.
No, but it just makes me sick. I think everybody should have the right to vote, even if you're homeless. And if you're homeless, you can't pay $20, $25 to go get an ID so you can vote. Like, it just makes me sad.
Technically, the homeless thing is not about their ID. It's about lack of a permanent address. It's the same reason they can't even get a library card, because they do not have an address. You have to have a fixed address to get anything like that. Unfortunately, we're running out of time for this segment. So,
oh God, we haven't even touched on her yet.
After heart attack, we got something else to bring up. I want to talk about what giant crybabies the Republicans and every anti-Obama person out there has been.
To be fair, I was a big crybaby of what I was saying if Romney went, and I was dead serious, you guys. Like, I mean, obviously I wouldn't do it right away. Like, I was fully, like, prepared. And the real quick before we go to heart attack, I'm just scared because any good that is passed or done this term, assuming that Obama's not blackballed again, it worries me, because you can get someone that's even more extremist on the right wing side next term. And if they have the backers in the Congress and the Senate, a lot of this can be overturned. I mean, you know, just showing the reaction of how they're taking Obama being elected, it does scare me. It's like nothing's safe. They can pass, you know, all of the gay marriage equality, you know, health bills. And if we get the wrong people in government next term, it can all be overturned. And that's a really scary thought. It's like, I don't.
That's democracy, though. That's
yeah,
all, you
know? I know it is. But at the same time, it's really scary. It's just like, oh, it's like I get one breath of peace every 4 years. And then it's like, you know, my dander's up and then be like, oh, my God.
Hey, guys, Hart D. Fisher from Heart Attack here. And normally you'd hear me ranting and raving about some political thing that's got a bug up my ass or another, but today I want to talk to you guys about the Safe Cig. When I was growing up as a kid, my father smoked 3 packs a day, my mother smoked 2 packs a day, and when we went on a family camping trip, he rolled up the windows for the air conditioner, so we rolled down the highway in a goldfish bowl full of smoke. It was nuts. Well, tell you what, folks, I wish my father had this when I was a kid. Safe Cig is a new technology that offers a real alternative to smoking tobacco cigarettes. That's right, it's an alternative to smoking tobacco cigarettes. No tar, no ash, and has virtually no smell. So go on down to www.thesafecig.com. No secondhand environmental health or fire risk. So if you've got a hubby or a wife who likes to smoke in bed at night while she's reading her favorite James Patterson novel, well, hey, you don't have to worry now if she's smoking the Safe Cig, because it's not on fire. So, folks, I've got a really good deal for you. If you want to try out the Safe Cig, you can. You're going to get 20% off if you use the code HORROR. That's right. Use the code HORROR, and you're going to get 20% off your order of the Safe Cig. And that's thesafecig.com. So go ahead and check it out today. Get your 20% off. Don't forget to use your code HORROR.
Last week on Heart Attack, I opened up my doors and I gave you guys a piece of my life that I don't normally talk about. I have been struggling for the last decade to change the way I work, to change what I'm doing with my life. A big part of that has to do with meeting my wife, Waka. When I met Waka, I was really ready for a change. I had just gone through bankruptcy court with Boneyard Press. That's right, folks, when people say, oh, I heard you owed so-and-so money. Well, you know what, fuckers? Yeah, there are people that I owed money to. I went bankrupt. Boneyard Press went belly up in 2000 under Chapter 13, and I was lucky enough to keep all my characters and to keep all of my intellectual properties. But I have a list, a list of everybody I owe money to. I had to make this list for the government, for the IRS. I was very thorough about it because if you miss somebody on this list, they can come back and they can come after you later for dough. So when it comes to debts and what you owe people, I know exactly what the fuck I owe and who the fuck I owe it to. There's no mistake in my mind. And throughout my journey of publishing books, I loved doing comics. Guys, I loved it. When I started Boneyard Press, that was a dream come true. And as I went forward, I wanted to share it. You know, if you're just working by yourself, you're just jacking off. You're not fucking yet. You know, you need people to interact with to have a party. You can't have a party by yourself. So I wanted to make a great comic book company. I wanted to publish good stuff. I wanted to provide opportunity for people that wouldn't normally get an opportunity from DC or from Marvel or what have you. I wanted to publish the comics that I wanted to read. And I had lots and lots of people work for me. Lots and lots of folks started their career. Village Voice, Major Critical Darling, Stephen Elliott started his career working with me first at Boneyard. I met him at Champaign, Illinois, and started publishing his stuff. I published his first novel, Jones Inn. Now this guy's a critical darling of the Village Voice. You know, it's pretty funny. Steve was a great guy. We worked hard. All my guys worked hard. And the weird thing is how people react when success comes. There was a young gentleman by the name of Gary Way. I mentioned Gary last week because Gary grew up to become Gerard Way. And most people out there know Gerard Way, love that, as the lead singer of My Chemical Romance. Now, some people have heard me refer to them as My Chemical Ripoff. It's because they are. They're liars. They're fucking liars, and that cocksucker is a plagiarist. That's right, little Gary Way, I'm fucking outing you. You see, folks, when my wife came down with cancer, it was a very, very low part of my life. She had ovarian and a tumor. It was nasty, cervical and ovarian cancer. It nearly completely took her out of the mix. It destroyed her. It destroyed our business, along with, you know, some people in my life. You know, I work with these artists, and I kind of lose track with these different people as they grow up and they move on and they get in their careers. And, you know, I've had some interns work for me that I've stayed in touch with. And Gary Way was one of those kids. You know, Gary started working for me when he was 15, and he wrote a series called On Raven's Wings, which is actually, I thought, was a really cool superhero comic, especially for a 15-year-old kid. It was really, really good writing, and I was very impressed with this young guy. And I took an interest in him. You know, I took an interest in him, and I spent time with him, and I talked to him. I spent a lot of time on the phone with him, and, you know, I used to talk to his mom about how to keep him from getting beat up at school by bullies and shit. And I went around, and I carried these books in the trunk of my car, and I'm like, this kid's good. You're going to hear again from this kid, you know, and I was a believer. I promoted all my guys. You know, I loved all my guys, and I liked the work that they did. And so I pushed and sung their praises. And so I stayed in touch with Gary as he got older. You know, when he went to art school, we continued to talk. When he went on and he got a job at Marvel, or not Marvel, at DC, at Vertigo, I was like, holy shit, good job, dude. You got the fucking gig. I got a mole in the middle of Vertigo. This is awesome. And that's what I thought. Well, many years goes by. Now I'm dealing with my wife's cancer. She's on a plane ride to Japan. I don't know if I'm ever going to see her alive again. I'm riding down the 101. I hear the Black Parade, the hit single from that album, and I went fucking apeshit. I lost my fucking mind. I had to pull over to the side of the road because I was screaming, shrieking, and nearly tearing apart my dashboard with my bare hands. I was so furious because whoever had wrote that had fucking plagiarized me like no one had ever fucking plagiarized me before. Ripped me off to the fucking bone, my most personal work, taking snatches and phrases from my Boneyard Press editorials, but worse, from Poems for the Dead and Still Dead. All you people out there. Now, I had a lawyer, a trademark attorney, a federal trademark attorney sit down with me and tell me not to talk about this shit on the air a few years back when we were really going to sue the fuck out of this asshole. And when I caught him, you know, at first I was excited. I thought it was great. I was thrilled. I found out, wait a minute, who are these guys? Gerard Way, why does this fucking ring a bell? Who is this fucking guy? Who is this guy? Oh, wait a minute. Is this fucking Gary? holy shit, this is fucking Gary. So I got the records and I listened to them and I'm like, wow, my shit's all over this stuff. Oh my God. But at least it's one of my guys singing my praises. And that's what I thought for about a month, maybe 2 months. And then you know what I did? I started shooting my mouth off, all excited that one of my guys had made it to the big time, and I was really thrilled, and I was really fucking happy for the guy, and I hadn't really listened to the records yet, just a couple songs. But it was enough to go, okay, you know, sure, I'm influencing the fuck out of this guy, but, you know, he's making it. I'm up for a big job. My wife is destroyed from cancer. Chemo and the radiation stripped her to the fucking bone, to the fucking bone, okay? Like, no muscles. Can you imagine if you had no pads on the bottom of your feet? Can you imagine if all the muscles and padding on the bottom of your foot was fucking gone? Can you imagine how much that would hurt to walk on those fucking feet?
Absolutely.
And then you get on those fucking feet, and you're going to walk over to the computer, and you're going to turn on the computer, and you're going to see hate mail from this guy's fans directed at me. And why? Because I caught little Gerard Way in a fucking lie. He was perpetuating a fraud with Dark Horse Comics. What they turned out to do, and I found this out from a fan. A fan emailed me on YouTube, and they said, hey, I've been telling my friends about this comic I've got on Raven's Wings, and it's Gary Way, and I contacted Dark Horse, and they're telling me it's not him. He didn't do it. This fucking company, Dark Horse, had lied to all the fan clubs and said that Gary Way ain't Gerard Way. And why did they do that? They did that to inflate the price of the Umbrella Academy so they could call it his first published work, because any artist's first published work is the most valuable fucking work. Number one, we catch Dark Horse fucking lying. And now I'm flipping out because now people are calling my fans liars? Fuck that. So I go ballistic. And now I start really looking at the music and I start going through the album. And that job that I'm up for as a director that I was bragging about my association, because, you know, when you're a taste maker, when you're able to spot and develop talent, that's a commodity. That's an ability that I have. And so I'm up for this job. They go checking up the history on Gerard Way. You know what? He's completely scrubbed me out of his history. He's lied. He's lied to everybody. In fact, I found interviews talking about how he had a real bad problem as a liar as a kid. He was known as a liar, okay? So I start listening to these fucking records, and now I'm getting really goddamn mad. I lost the job because now I'm called a liar, because apparently, according to Gerard Way, he never had any association with Boneyard Press or doing On Raven's Wings. Or how about this one? He was such a fan of mine. He was such a one of my boys. I got him on the Sally Jesse Raphael show with me in the audience. In fact, you guys have seen these clips on YouTube. You can see clips of a little fat Gary Way asking a question. Oh, that's right. You can't see that one because I kept that clip for myself. I never posted the clip, a little fat Gary Way fucking up his question to Sally Jesse Raphael. And after the show, I'm like, hey, man, don't worry about the question. It's okay. Everybody gets nervous when they're on TV. How does that little kid reward me when he grows up? When he gets caught lying and plagiarizing and he gets caught with his tit in a ringer, he hides behind his fans and they attack me en masse. And believe me, they gave me the treatment and my wife, all fucked up, is reading this shit. You hear me, Gary? You hear me, you fuck? You hurt my wife. Do you understand what I'm telling you? You really hurt her. And I'm never going to forget that. All the people out there that are listening, because my enemies listen to me the same way that people who hated Howard Stern listen to him more. Because I'm fucking dangerous, motherfuckers. Because I'm unpredictable. Because I have a memory. And I'm coming out after you, Gary. The peace is over. My wife begged me to drop this lawsuit because it made me fucking crazy. It's my most personal work. Sure, you changed a word here, you changed a little bit there, but we all know who the leader of the broken, the beaten, and the damned is, and I paid my fucking price to be there. I walked through fucking fire. I faced down stalkers and protest marches and murder and rape. You little cunt, you're nothing. You're a pretender drug addict piece of shit. You're a midget motherfucker, and I'm looking for you. I'm looking for a way to give you what you gave me. Remember that. All of you, I am coming back. I am out of the grave. I am here now. I'm coming for all of you who wounded my wife, who hurt me deep in my head. I'm going to return the pleasure. And in the meantime, while you're waiting for that, you can watch my horror channel. Because things are going real good for me, folks. Things are going great. I've got a new book out on the stands right now with a great short story called Preppers. It's called Masters of Taboo, Cannibalism. You can get it at Amazon. I've got another great book coming out that I'm a part of called In the Company of Men. It's a poetry collection. I've got my own book getting ready to come out, An American Horror Story, talking about what you cunts did. The TV network that's getting bigger and stronger and better every fucking day, 24 hours, 7 days a week. So guys, if you're unhappy with me cock-slapping you on 10 minutes of radio, oh, 2013 is going to get interesting at American Horrors, guys. We're going to get real fucking interesting, and you could watch for $1.95 a month at www.filmon.tv. Fisher out.
Now, prepare yourself for the most gruesome and grotesque horror film experience of them all, the Bloodorama Shock Festival. Vampires, ghouls, half-human monsters, and creatures from the world of the undead all joined together in one fright-filled, fantastic cavalcade of the weird and bizarre. The Bloodorama Shock Festival. Are you ready for more than 4 hours of chill-crammed terror? Join Christopher Lee, Greta Tyson, Ken Taylor, and John Ashley in search of new, hideous horrors. You'll see men turn into maniacs, and dead beings turn into living, breathing, unholy beasts that kill at the command of a half-mad fiend. It's all there and in bloodletting, gory color. Don't be afraid. See the Bloodorama Shock Festival.
So, Jillian, as you and I have discussed off mic, the Republicans are not taking this loss well. They immediately, the day Obama won, and I'm talking not necessarily the Republicans in charge. I'm talking the Republican blogosphere, Fox News, Republican radio hosts, things like that. Not necessarily the extremists, the most vocal elements of the Republican Party. They started talking about how Obama had all these negative ads against Romney. I actually went and watched a bunch of Romney's ads and a whole bunch of Obama's ads. Obama did not say one thing that was not backed up by a fact. Romney's ads were all full of lies, cloudy wording, or made-up facts. And I know that's an oxymoron, but the Republicans have made-up facts an actual thing.
Oh, and Fox then, made a network out of it.
Exactly. And then
I will say, wait, real quick. I'm really sorry. I will say one thing. I did some research, and there is actually information saying that with mudslinging, some people can actually be more informed due to it. Because if you say really asinine, horrible things about a candidate, a lot of people are more likely to research the fact and become informed and being like, what? That's crazy. And they look it up and find out the real facts. So in a way, it's a double-edged sword. I think horrible campaigning like that, of course, people that don't do the research and believe it, yeah, that's bad. But I think it also gets people a lot more involved and informed when otherwise they may not have been.
Now, I'm not stealing this joke from Bill Maher because it's not a joke. The Republican head of the Senate and the Republican head of the House, Obama tried to call them on election night. He was informed, they're already in bed. You'll have to call back tomorrow. The president of the fucking United States is calling you. Oh, no, he's already in bed on election night at 9 p.m. We're sorry. What fucking babies? These are fucking babies. They lost, and all of a sudden, okay, Jillian, you use this term all the time. They are butthurt like you would not believe. But
like they're public figures. Of their representatives of their party, so they should not react. But I do need to qualify, because I know people, if you don't like what I've been saying about it, you would be the first ones to be like, but Jillian went to Romney when she was going to move to Canada. And I wasn't joking. Some people actually said some stuff about that. They were like, oh, I like how certain people say that, you know, they're going to move to a different country, like in quotes. And this was after I posted something like in to a different country, not realizing that they're going to inherit that country's problems. It's like, I'm not an idiot. Like, I do my research. I am aware other countries have, you know, other problems. It's one of those lesser of two evil things.
Jillian, it's the same thing that when Obamacare first got passed, Limbaugh said the week before the vote came up that if Obamacare passes, he's moving to Costa Rica to protest it. And it's like, hey, Rush, Costa Rica has universal health care that actually is more liberal than Obamacare. You're just a fucking moron.
I'm not dissing America when I say that. It's not like, oh, America's ruined, I'm leaving. It's honestly with policies that the party was saying that they were going to push, it would really, and again, not going into medical things or whatever, it would affect me greatly. So honestly, you know, that was really a viable option for me to consider. I don't want it to come off like I'm just butthurt and be like, my candidate's not winning, I'm moving. It wasn't like that. Like, I mean, I just want to make that clear because I know I've said that a couple times. So I'm not one of those people that's like, what? There's a president that I didn't vote for in office. I'm moving to, you know, wherever. And so, I just love how some people just assume that other people are informed, probably because there's a lot of people that say things that aren't informed. But again, don't assume either way, people.
As we spoke about in the first segment, the Republicans had this war on women going. Well, not only did every single candidate that said something stupid about like legitimate rape and God's will and all that shit, every single one of them was defeated this election.
Oh, I know.
In most cases, by a female candidate. In one case, by a gay female candidate.
The funny thing that I loved after this was the memes that came out using their quote against them and being like, you know, the female body has ways of shutting things down. And then it shows a woman's hand putting a ballot into a box. I'm like, damn right. And there's a quote from Alec Baldwin, who is right wing. And I really thought it was funny. He said, you know, your party's in trouble when someone asks, did the rape guy win? And you have to ask which one.
As Bill Maher likes to point out, this right wing bubble that they live in. Do you realize, and I'm not exaggerating this one little bit, Romney's campaign during the actual ballot tallies, they kept him so in the dark, he actually thought he was winning up until the moment Obama was declared officially having the 270 electoral votes. He really thought he was in charge because all his yes men that he surrounded him with, they're like, yes, Mr. Romney, you are doing great. You are totally beating Obama, Mr. Romney, when he's trailing by a good 100 electoral votes. That's the kind of bubble that they live in. He had no clue he wasn't winning.
Well, they wouldn't concede even when they were just waiting on Florida. And like, the only reason we were waiting on Florida last election is because it was the swing vote. But he could have won all of Florida.
Yeah,
and it wouldn't have mattered. That's like going to like a loan company being like, oh, okay, yeah, no, $5,000 more down payment. Well, I've got my friend who's coming with $1,000. So let's just wait. Just give me some more time. It's like, it doesn't matter. You're not going to make it either way. It's like, just no. And so, and it's just, again, it goes back to what I was saying, like, you are what you lie with. So Romney surrounded himself with these people and got, like, sucked in.
No, here's the other thing, Jay, that's really funny. Again, going to the bias, Fox News called Romney the winner when he only had 100 electoral votes. Okay,
and they argued when Obama won, too. Yeah, they were arguing
you need 270, Jay, to win. So he's still 170 votes away from winning. And they called it, there's no way Obama's going to overtake him. No, Romney's already won. We're calling it, we're shutting down for the night. It's like, again, that bubble, Jillian.
It would have been hilarious if balloons and confetti fell from the ceiling, like, and they played, like, We Are the Champions by Queen, and then it came through underneath, like, Obama won. It's funny, because there's a screenshot where it's, like, they're just, like, frowny and shocked, and like, he's like, I didn't know news anchors could frown, because it's like, you know, they could be like, millions died in an avalanche today.
And then, Jillian, you also have the non-public people. You have all these butthurt people, racists in a lot of cases, just your average Joe on the street. Lisa Lee from the Cityspell show said when Obama was actually declared the winner, she was at a Denny's and she heard the three rednecks sitting at another table said, oh, great, four more years of nigger rule. And it's just like, are you people this uninformed? Are you people this fucking stupid? It'd be one thing if all of a sudden you elected a supervillain president. The guy is black. It's not like he runs as a president as black. He runs the country like a Democrat. not a black Democrat. His race really has no bearing on how he is as a leader. And keep
society
in mind,
sucks Julian, and you
I'm not
racist,
an Obama supporter on this either. So
yeah. Again, in society, you know, to racists, race matters. It doesn't matter that how much good they do. They see them as the particular race that they are racist against, and that is bad and evil and dirty or whatever their beliefs are.
You've got all these people that were just being fucking assholes. There was a woman that claims her racist Facebook post lost her a job. And then I believe you have a compilation of some of the most racist tweets that were collected during the election day, didn't you?
I do. The one about the woman that was fired after calling Obama the N-word. And I'll tell you guys right now, when I'm saying N-word, when I'm referring to these people's quotes, they're actually saying it. I refuse to say that word. I hate it. So when I'm reading these quotes, I'm going to say N-word or bleep or whatever, but you know what it means. I won't say that word. I hate it. Disgust me. But anyway, this woman, Denise Helms in California, was fired and actually had the Secret Service like come, and it's like this big hubbub. They're still investigating, which, I mean, obviously she's a dumbass 22-year-old. She doesn't have the means, but they take everything very seriously. She was another 4 years of this N-word. Maybe he will get assassinated this term. She was interviewed and saying, well, I'm not saying that I would assassinate him. I'm just saying that, like, you know, I wouldn't care if he was. And I don't think what I said was that bad. And it was just the blatant, there's racists that realize that they're racist and that they hate whatever race.
Months ago, about the whole George Tiller thing, about how Bill O'Reilly said someone should take him out and then a crazy person does it. It's the same thing that she's saying, you know, someone should assassinate him. Oh, not me, but I just hope somebody does.
Yeah. And again, I mean, because she's just, you know, a regular person posting stuff. But I mean, and we talked about this. I was on Thespian Talk earlier today with Iron Liz and Gomer. And, you know, we talked about this whole social media thing. It's like, you have to be careful what you say, even if you are not in any position of power or whatever. But, you know, you do have to be held accountable. And this is why I love, like, I'm going to out some of these tweet people here. Jezebel.com compiled a list of these people and their racist tweets. And since it was published, of course, people knew about these people and they didn't black out names or pictures. And one of the people I actually went to the page out of curiosity, and they had all of these at mentions just, you know, attacking them. And then between her racist tweet and people tweeting her, she like did some BS apology. And honestly, you know, if you take the stance and be like, okay, well, if you're going to be racist, at least stand by what you say. It's like, she's a fucking 18-year-old. You know, it's like it's a learned behavior, you guys. And it does. It makes me sad that people this young, you know, are doing this. I saw a picture of two sisters or whatever, and they had to have been between 4 and 7 at the oldest. And they were wearing, and I can't remember exactly what it said. It was a while ago during the election process, anti-Obama shirt with the N-word on it. And it was just like a picture of them smiling, wearing these shirts with,
well,
you know,
Julian,
the N-word on it.
Before you get into the tweets, there's a white power band that has their own Lizzie McGuire, two little blonde hair, blue eyed, little 10 to 12 year old girls called Prussian Blue that sing about Jews and blacks and stomping them and retaking their government. Their aunt actually tried to get them taken away from their mom and dad for child abuse for raising them in a racist household. And I think that's wrong, but it's the same kind of thing. They're going to grow up knowing that, and that's the way they are.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing is, too, in the comments on these tweets, somebody had done some research and pointed out that a lot of these kids, and when we say kids, we're talking late teens, early 20s, some, on scholarships in college or applying to colleges, there's several scholarships that have morality clauses. And so some of the people are actually going and writing to these schools and screenshotting this stuff, letting them know about the people that are applying for these scholarships. And so, you know, more power to them. But I'm going to go ahead and read. I don't know how many are on. I scrolled.
Well, we've only got
much.
About 5 minutes, so
okay,
pick the best ones.
When in doubt, kick the N-word out. Hashtag Romney. Can we all just get out and vote for Romney so we can get this N-word out of office? Meanwhile, that N-word Obama hugs the fat faggot Christie, and boom, now everybody wants to vote for him because hugs are positive like smiles. The movie 2012 first, New York floods, and there is an N-word in office also. See, I think it's supposed to be coincidence. They kind of suck at spelling. y'all, it's called a White House, not a Black House or an N-word house.
God.
Hill should just call it Welfare House.
Wow.
LOL, Obama may be the president, but even he still needs welfare. Hashtag N-word. So that's nice. They're using the hashtag. Oh, wait. No, I haven't been saying names. Damn it. Okay, well, Chet Walken at Walken4GOP, the number 4. N-words are voting Obama 2012 because they afraid Romney Ryan 2012 is going to create jobs. N-words hate to work and rather live off the government, as he puts in quotes. And that name again is at Simon Walken, W-A-L-K-E-N, the number 4, G-O-P. He also says, why did Obama's great-granddaddy cross the road? Because my great-granddaddy tugged his neck chain in that direction.
God.
This is the person I looked up. Everybody get out and vote so we can get this N-word out of office. Chevy Chance at Dixie Boys 38, D-I-X-I-E-B-O-Y-S 38. America is fucked, full of fucking N-word lovers needing support from the goddamn government. Fuck you. If you're voting for Obama just because he's black and you are too, that's some N-word shit. Brandon Norrie at B-N-O-R-R-I-E-W-C. Oh, somebody's name. I'm not racist. That's their name, but it's their at sign or their Twitter tag is anti-A-N-T-I, dark-skinned, but it says I'm not racist. Can't wait for Mitt Romney to win the elections and kick that filthy N-word Obama and his family out of the White House.
I don't even think you need to go on. I think we got the gist.
Wait, one more. No, because okay. I'm outing these bitches.
All right.
Obama did not kill Osama. That's an excuse people use to put that sorry N-word back in office. That would be at S-C-R-E-E-C-H-H-H-H. But yeah, if you want to go, it's Jezebel.com. And I think if you just put in Twitter racists or something like that, like, yeah, they're all on there. There's a whole bunch of them. But yeah, I'd honestly be willing to spill blood and attack the North and take back America. Civil War 2012. That's Davis Moody at D-A-V-M-O-O-D-S.
A lot of these people, they are hiding behind pseudonyms. I mean, I've talked about before how...
Wait, there's one more. It's the same person, but it's one of those ironic things when someone says somebody's dumb and they misspell something. He goes, it just goes to show the white people of the world have turned trashy thanks to Bet. Comma, MTV VH1, you're all uneducated idiots, but the your is the possessive your, not you are. And then he hashtagged white trash. That's Davis Moody, D-A-V-M-O-O-D-S.
And see, these are people that hide behind pseudonyms because they think no one will out them. These are people that would never go up to a black guy and say this to his face. They would never, if the president was coming to their town, they'd never go and take a Klan flag and start protesting outside where the president is speaking. No, no, no. But from the anonymity of the internet, these guys are internet tough guys. In real life, they're whiny little bitch cowards who are afraid of the world closing in upon them.
Here's another one. Is this really our punishment for slavery? Wasn't 4 years enough? Can't we just call it even? That's Nikki, N-I-C-K-Y-G-E-E-02.
Well, Jillian,
sorry, I'll stop.
You have a non-racist Twitter. What is that?
It would be the Mistress J. Well, see, no, now don't forget and don't lump me in and send me.
That's why I said
done with the racist.
That's why I said you have a non-racist Twitter.
I know, but I started to say it like I've been reading all of these. So I was like, wait. It's the Mistress J. I'm also on Facebook, thecinemasnob.com, and I am somewhat featured on Geek Juice Media as well.
And you're on this show, and you were recently on Radiodrome for Halloween, so go grab that from the archives. And then you can find me at 1201beyond.com. Contact me at 1201beyond@gmail.com. And as you heard last week, Jillian now knows what the 1201 Beyond stands for.
I do. I feel very edumacated.
And
I am Sismart. S-M-R-T.
I mean S-M-A-R-T. And then my weekly column, Sanity is Razor Thin, at Geek Juice Media, the same one Jillian is featured on, and my monthly column, The Shadows of Pop Culture, in Scene Magazine.
And there's new forums on Geek Juice. Well, newish. It's new to you if you haven't seen it. So check them out. Some threads under the categories. And if you haven't checked it out yet, we also do have a Facebook page.
Talk what?
At facebook.com/talkwhat.
Exactly. Good night.
strikes deep within you and shakes the life of everything you've known. Restless hearts pushing to find something to hang on to.